Police officials in Indiana say they're on the verge of cracking the oldest unsolved murder in that state. Last week, they arrested a man and charged him with stabbing a young black woman more than three decades ago. The murder happened in Martinsville, a small town about 30 miles south of Indianapolis. Martinsville has wrestled with a disturbing history of racial intolerance. Residents are hoping this arrest will change that, as NPR's Jackie Northam reports.
Martinsville is a picture postcard of what any small town in America is supposed to look like, with a red brick courthouse nestled in the center of an orderly town square, a statue of a Dalmatian sitting outside the local firehouse, and cars driving slowly down the tree-lined streets. But behind the pleasant civil facade of this town of 12,000 is a long and ugly reputation for racism. For years, Martinsville was an all-white town. Even now, fewer than 20 African Americans live here. And it was widely considered to be a Ku Klux Klan stronghold. As it turned out, it was the worst possible place to be for a beautiful young black girl selling encyclopedias door-to-door 33 years ago. On September 16, 1968, Carol Jenkins and three other young salespeople stopped in Martinsville. It was late in the day when they arrived and already getting dark. It was Jenkins' first day on the job, and she was in a town that her stepfather, Paul Davis, had warned her about. Davis says if he had known Jenkins was heading to Martinsville that day, he would have urged her not to go.
I just didn't want her in that area. You know, any person of color around the vicinity has always felt that it just wasn't a good place for a black person to stop at or to be.
Around 7:30 that night, Jenkins knocked on the door of a home in a residential neighborhood, pleading for help. She said some men in a car were yelling at her. The residents took her in. A bit later, when Jenkins thought it was safe, she left the house and began walking towards the town center. She never made it. Less than an hour later, Jenkins lay on the rain-soaked sidewalk with a fatal stab wound to her heart. The murder of a black woman in this white town put Martinsville on the map, galvanizing its reputation for racism. Police detained and questioned several suspects, but there were no arrests. And for more than three decades, the case went unsolved. Davis said he always questioned how sincere the police were about finding Jenkins' killer.
I've always felt that it wasn't completed or carried out like it should be because of Carol's race. I've always felt that way.
But Shannon Buskirk, Martinsville's mayor, says that's not true. Buskirk was with the town's police department for 26 years and says Martinsville was eager to solve the Jenkins case so it could start repairing its image.
I think the general consensus of the black population was that we didn't want to solve it, and that was not true. Not true at all.
One by one, officials working on the case retired, moved, or died. Every so often, a new lead was investigated, but with no results. Still, the case wouldn't go away. Davis wrote letters to the police and finally hired a private investigator. Then a few years ago, the Jenkins murder caught the eye of officials at the Indiana State Police in its newly formed Cold Case Unit. In September 2000, two detectives were assigned to Martinsville. Colonel Donald Brackman with the Indiana State Police says their work focused on finding who killed Carol Jenkins more than three decades ago.
You know, we took about almost a year rebuilding the case, looking at all the evidence we could find, interviewing everyone that we could interview, over 150-some people, and then decided that we needed to go with some publicity and see if someone will come forward.
And that's when they got their break. The team received an anonymous letter which led them to Shirley McQueen. In court documents, McQueen says her father, Kenneth Richmond, was driving through Martinsville with another man on their way to Indianapolis. She was 7 years old at the time and riding in the back seat of the car. According to an affidavit, McQueen says her father had been drinking, and when he saw Carol Jenkins, he began yelling at her. Then the two men chased her, and while the other man held Jenkins, Richmond stabbed her with a screwdriver. McQueen says her father gave her $7 and told her never to tell anyone. But she did tell one person, and it was that ex-sister-in-law who told the police. 70-year-old Kenneth Richmond was arrested last week in Indianapolis and charged with Jenkins' murder. The second man hasn't been found. Colonel Brackman says he's surprised McQueen kept quiet for so long.
by human nature, it's very, very difficult for people to keep dark, dark secrets for so long. And things happen. People get angry. Witnesses want revenge. Relationships have changed.
The arrest was a relief for many people in Martinsville. The alleged killer wasn't from here. He was just someone passing through. The burden had been lifted and the town vindicated. But Mayor Buskirk says it was quickly apparent that the outside world wasn't ready to vindicate Martinsville just yet.
It said, you know, they've done something. They've done some good, but there's so much more that they can do and they need to do, blah, blah, blah. And there again, they were bloodying our nose. And I'd get so tired of the big city papers and those people coming down on us. You know, they don't live here. They don't know what goes on here.
It's unlikely the arrest will do much to improve Martinsville's reputation as a racist enclave, a reputation earned long before Carol Jenkins was killed. The town has long been considered a magnet for the Ku Klux Klan. It even held a large KKK rally in the town square 1 year before the Jenkins murder. Marianne Land was a young girl at the time and remembers people wearing white sheets parading around the town square. Land says she didn't know anyone who participated, but wouldn't be surprised if there were Klan sympathizers in Martinsville.
I don't think there was anybody in town that didn't know somebody that wasn't a racist. But that didn't mean we all were. Everybody had an Uncle Bob or even maybe their grandfather that didn't like black people.
And there have been ongoing incidents that have reinforced Martinsville's racist image, including one a few years ago at a high school basketball game. Some black players and fans of a team from nearby Bloomington complained of being verbally and physically abused during the game. The State High School Athletic Association sanctioned all Martinsville's teams for 1 year. Many residents here were angry with the decision, but Marianne Land says they didn't fight it.
Part of maybe why they didn't fight it was guilt, you know. Maybe they're right. Maybe we are just a bunch of bigots. And maybe, how do you fight this? How do you fight an image?
Slowly, says Reverend Christy Wareham with Martinsville's First Presbyterian Church. After the basketball incident, Wareham formed a group called Pride, which tries to foster tolerance. Wareham, who moved to Martinsville just a few years ago, says the group organized dinners and other events to promote diversity. While there's been a good turnout, Wareham says many people who've lived in Martinsville all their lives don't like what the group is trying to do.
In their minds, Pride was apologizing for them for something that they didn't do.
The arrest of Kenneth Richmond offers Martinsville an opportunity to try to polish its tarnished image, to move beyond the multiple layers of resentment, of distrust and fear, and perhaps most importantly, the murder of Carol Jenkins on a rainy night 33 years ago. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Martinsville, Indiana.